God help us. I think we should say a prayer.
Okay, so we're on the record. I'm Stefan DeFeo.
Tamitha Thomas Hossie.
Lars Dixon.
Stacey Gibson Granfield.
Okay, so we're on the record. It's 6 o'clock. Additions. Okay, so any additions or changes to the agenda?
So Anne would like to go ahead of the foreman's report tonight.
Okay.
If we all agree.
Okay. Yep. It's perfect.
I'd like to go ahead earlier as well, if possible.
So why don't we move you to right after Anne?
I have like 2 minutes, maybe.
Okay. So again, you can go before Anne.
Or the two of you could arm wrestle.
Maybe you can talk together.
Oh, Anne will be if we arm wrestle.
How about limbo?
Yeah, do a couple cartwheels.
No one limbos anymore.
See who does the most push-ups.
Okay. Okay, so you and then Anne. Okay.
And then I wanted to ask, is Victor
here?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So, sure. So,
I can go later. We have nothing to do tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay. You say that now. All right, good. So,
well, the rest of us that are here to go over, this is the solar array.
Yeah, so...
I'd like to get to that harvest sometime.
Okay, so if we could move that up, that would be good, too. So,
whatever you guys want to do is fine.
Okay, okay, great.
So, so we got emergency management moving to be first under reports. Then we have Ann, and then the highway foreman. So those are the changes right now. So where are we adding in?
Yeah, if we could add, if we could push Green Lantern presentation up before road foreman as well, like after Anne and Eric, that would be great.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes. Hi.
What do you guys have?
Upgrading the status of Webster Road. So, I don't know. I mean, we have a letter signed by the residents. I don't know how you guys want to go about doing this or add it. Or
do you want
that
just
would be new business.
We'll just add it to new business.
So, we'll add it to new business.
So, should I submit this to you
now? No, just
now
or until we get to it.
Okay.
And then we'll get to it. Anybody else?
It's exciting Friday night.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's it. Any citizens or anybody to address the board? Everybody? Going once? Twice? You're out. Okay. Approval of the minutes. So we have, I can't remember.
Minutes for the September 11th meeting?
I read them before, so.
I'm sorry?
I already read them.
You need to change cubic to cubit.
And that's for the September ones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. That, thanks, Lars.
That
so
was
where
the
was
only
that?
Correction I saw, too. When we were talking about the town forest, I think we started talking about the land across from Lewis's on River Road.
There it is. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, good. So that was my question.
C-U-B-I-T.
Okay. Cubit?
That's all I found.
Yep, same here.
The correction.
Okay. Make a motion. Someone make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as edited this evening by Tamitha.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Cool. So we got the September 11th, and then we have Tom's special meeting minutes, which was, I can't remember the date, Sunday.
I didn't see those minutes.
They're out there as a draft.
Can we table that for next meeting, or do they have to be approved tonight?
Well, I mean, they're out there. They're on the website. I saw them. It's a special meeting we had to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't get an email that the draft minutes were out there, so...
Okay, we'll table it then.
I'm just...
It's a one-liner procedural thing.
I mean, if we can view it on Tamitha's computer, that's fine, too.
Yeah, it was a one-liner just confirming.
We'll wait until it goes around.
Okay. So that's good. Any more minutes? That's the only two that I had, right?
That's it.
Okay. So you're up.
Okay, so three quick things. We did a radio exercise last night. All the zone captains participated. Communications across Duxbury were solid, so that's positive. Moving on, next topic, local hazard mitigation plan. I'll have a rough draft out for review next week. The final bits and pieces have come together, so that can...
What was the mitigation plan, Eric?
Local hazard mitigation.
Local plan. Hazard?
Yeah. So, but we can adjust after everyone's had the chance to look at it from there.
Okay.
So, and then lastly, next year, we're going to look to do quarterly emergency management meetings. just to try to do more with less.
Well, a couple months ago, we talked about doing a broader emergency management test where you wanted like members of the select board to participate. Are you still hoping to do something like that? Or?
Yes, next year.
Next year, okay.
And so, when you say next year, do you mean January 1 or like the start of the...
Probably after the new select board
has
come on board.
That's helpful.
Okay. That is all.
That is all.
Thank you.
Questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. I heard your radio test last night. It was fun to listen to.
Okay. So I have the warrants for payroll and accounts payable. If you can sign those and bring them back over in my inbox, that would be great. We had the close of the tax season on October 13th, and I want to thank Maureen for continuing to be really helpful when she's in the office taking payments, and Aaron Campos, my assistant, for coming in Thursday, Friday, so that we were there for the 5 days. It was very, very busy on Friday, and so I really appreciate their help a lot. I sent everyone the status report at the end when we closed the tax year out, and there was outstanding $73,712. Last year at the same time, the amount outstanding was $102,694, so wow, that's an improvement.
Great.
And Rachel has already sent out notices. We did have two payments again that came in the mail on Monday, and they are delinquent, but you may end up getting contacted about that. In preparing for the budget meeting, the one item that I thought I would bring to you, because if there was going to be an investigation into a change, I believe the select board would have to do it, but Blue Cross Blue Shield is having a 9.5% increase next year after a 5% increase this year. I have seen on the MuniNet that MVP is lower, but I've also heard that their coverage isn't as good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's something that the board wants to consider looking into. We have our draft audit from Batchelder Associates, and we should have it finalized. She is making a couple of adjustments by the end of the month, and I will get it out to everybody when we have that. We dropped back a little bit overall from last year where we were way ahead, but we paid off the loan and we did some other things. So that's where we stand on that. And I don't know if there's any questions about the financial reports that I sent.
I did just have a question about the library. So right now the budget, so there was that whole thing at town meeting about the library, and right now it's $190 of $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remind me how that money gets out of our account, sort of how that's working?
Yeah, so basically when someone goes, they pay for it themselves, they bring back the receipt, and usually Maureen has the cash to cover it. She gives them cash, and then she puts it in with her clerk's deposit. You know, she takes it out of the cash that she would normally be depositing, and then it gets put into the expense for the library.
Okay. So we think about next year, $3,000, it seems like it might be a lot.
Yeah, that will definitely would propose to bring that down at next Thursday's meeting.
Okay.
And occasionally, if it's not a time where she's taking in much cash, then, you know, we take out $60 or something like that to petty cash, and then the receipts come in to cover.
Okay. Thank you.
How many members of the select board are you expecting at Thursday's meeting? I know I'm going. You're going.
Aaron can no longer make it. Okay. So, Lars, are you going to make it?
I should be there.
On Thursday. So that would be three then? Are you going to be back?
I'll
you think you'll be able
I actually,
to?
Awesome. I ended up not going to D.C. I told my boss, we have a graduation meeting Tuesday night that I don't want to miss since he's my only kid. So I figured it was more important than going to Washington, D.C. and learning about what the feds want us to do next with technology. So I decided to skip it.
All right.
So I will be here Thursday night.
Good.
You don't have to warn. You don't have to warn.
Yeah, it's been warned.
Yep, she's
I've done all that. Yeah. Awesome. Stefan, I am on it.
Well, there's three people going, so I figured we got to call them now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Adam, for letting me skip ahead.
quick question on the Blue Cross Blue Shield and MVP stuff. Is that something we'll talk about Thursday night as part of the budgeting, or is that something the board should discuss?
I think the decision would have to be obviously approved by the board, but you could, if someone in the budget committee was willing to spend some time doing research, that might be a good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So, whoever was here to talk solar.
Green Lantern.
Yeah, so Green Lantern. Green Lantern. So, just as a matter of introduction and sort of why Victor is here.
I'm going to get my phone too.
Sure. I think what happened is word got out I definitely want Jeff to hear this.
It's probably close.
So word got out that we're making movement on the gravel pit reclamation, and I've been contacted now by two different entities about solar. And so when Victor called me, I made it clear that we had established this, the future of the gravel pit committee. Two of our members are here tonight. And that I am the liaison to that committee, and that essentially the decision rests with the town about that, and the residents of the town, and that the committee would be making a proposal around process for moving forward with recommendations, seeking input from the town, and that it would have to go to the town for town meeting. Victor wanted to present to the select board. Even knowing that, so that's why I asked Mo to be here, and I'm glad Jeff is here. But I do, just for a matter of record, want to again state for the record that if this would be something that the town would move forward in, it would have to go to RFP, and we would give an it would have to be an open bid process, especially considering the number of folks who seem to be out there right now doing this kind of work. So I just wanted to make that clear to everyone. So we'll turn it over to you.
Great.
Thanks for the question.
Sure.
So this is just a preliminary. I'm here on another matter, but this is just a preliminary proposal.
No, it shouldn't even be a proposal.
Okay, so it's.
They wanted to introduce this as a possibility, an idea. They do this work all over, and so they asked if they could get on the select board agenda, even after, certainly making it clear that the committee has of the future of the gravel pit has not even met yet. We haven't even
so
had
no
a
decisions. That, so
no.
This is a promotion.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it is. It's to promote
But it would have to be an RFP process where we would accept bids from everybody. But we aren't even at the part of that yet. We haven't even sought input yet from the town on possibilities for that.
What about just some big wind turbines, like the biggest ones we can find?
Well, you're welcome to join the committee. Yes.
I think this is premature. I think this should not be taking up the time at the town meeting right now. A committee has been enjoined to investigate and make proposals. I think these gentlemen should make their proposals to the committee, not at the town meeting.
The word proposal. It's not a proposal. They're just here to present some information to the board, and we're just listening.
And they're so here, and we're going to listen to them.
It's not premature because you're not proposing anything.
Can I speak for a second? My name's Will. My brother, Victor, we're local, and then we represent Green Lantern Group, which is a local developer. Bottom line is that we want to have, and if we do propose anything, that we want to work directly with the community. We're based right out of Waterbury here. I agree with the gentleman that this is premature, and that after speaking, what's your name, sir? I'm sorry.
Jeff.
After speaking with Jeff and learning a little bit more about the quick history on where the sand pit is, that we should come back to your committee to talk to the committee about our ability to successfully permit solar projects. So why don't we just walk everything back? We'll take back that information there because that is more of a proposal to exactly what we would be able to do on the property. And what I'll do is I'll take 5 minutes of your time. Thank you very much for having us here. And just explain to everyone what's going on in solar right now. we're in version 2.0 of net metering. There's two different really programs available to install solar. One is the net metering statutes that would interconnect with the local utility, Green Mountain Power in this case, and puts out a benefit of around 15 cents a kilowatt hour. Solar panels produce three things when it's a net metered project: renewable energy credits, called RECs. Previous program, the developers would keep the RECs, and that would be part of the financing package, and they'd make money off of that. Under the new program, they get retired to the utility, and that goes towards the utility's statewide goals for their renewable energy portfolios, making the projects, you know, truly a renewable energy resource. And then the third thing that's produced is electricity. The electricity goes back to the interconnecting utility, and it's valued at an offset avoided cost. The second way to take a piece of land and have it benefit from solar is through a PPA back to the utility. In this case, you could approach GMP and say, hey, we've got a good piece of land. We want to actually utilize it and sell you the electricity that we can produce by maximizing the size of the project, which would use a lot more space than net metered project. Net metered projects have a footprint of 3.5 acres and are capped at a size of 500 kW AC. So those are and then the third one, which is another, it's a type of RFP process, but it's done through the Standard Offer Program, which is a state-sponsored program to do larger projects where the state then puts in and takes bids. Those bids for this year's Standard Offer just came out, and the price range is anywhere from 9 cents at the lowest to about 13 cents for these type PPAs. So it starts to give you an idea of what the actual marketplace is for property and being able to turn that property into solar. At Green Lantern, we will be your on-the-ground developers. We have an in-house engineering, procurement, construction crew as well, and we're fully financed. We own all of our projects. We're a Vermont company. We're all from Vermont. And we work really hard to work with the community. So that's about all the time I really need to take right now. Just wanted to put that out there. And we'll work hard to get on to your sandpit committee and then give you all the options that you have to maximize the sandpits further value, and our focus is for renewable resources. And, you know, we would be able to then make an actual proposal, whether it's a lease, a purchase. There's a lot of ways that the town could go with the property. And about the only thing I would say, too, is the programs are changing and the rates are changing. Every other year, the rates are going down. And one of the largest drivers for solar development has been a federal program called the ITC. It's a tax credit at the federal level, and it will no longer exist in, I believe, 3 years. And in 2 years from now, it'll get cranked down by another 10%. And right now it's at 30%. And that's the largest driver for all of these projects and why you really do see a proliferation of solar throughout Vermont is the federal ITC tax credit. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate being able to quickly present and look forward to being able to work with the town of Duxbury.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yep, no problem.
So you would be interested in coming to our first meeting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And we would be able to put a whole bunch of solutions on the table, and you guys can ask us a ton of questions. We'll give you all, you know, we're doing this on a daily basis, so we really appreciate that, and we'll make sure to coordinate with you.
When are you guys meeting?
We haven't come up with that. Right now, I believe that I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Mo. No.
I believe right now we're waiting on some information coming back from a meeting we had with the state, Act 250, they went through just basically overlooked the whole site, and they're going to give us kind of direction as to what they want to see next, and we wanted to kind of see that information before we even had our first meeting. Yeah.
And if they haven't told you at that level, because I'm familiar with everything that you're going through on the reclamation, there are special ways that you can work with Act 250 when the repurpose of the pit is for renewable energy. And we've coordinated that with other landowners and have actually saved them a lot of money and headaches on the reclamation side. So I just want to put that out there, too, because there is a considerable cost to the plans that you guys have. We've been through those.
Yeah, and there definitely was a difference in the lightness of their phase when it was talked about solar as opposed to the Carl Seuss building. It definitely changed. There was definitely a change there. But the so you can see that they were enlightened by that topic.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you both.
Set up a meeting.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay,
Adam,
you're up.
Have a great night.
Thanks.
Thank you too.
Okay, I'm going to have. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bono. Thanks for coming here. Nice to see you.
So I'll just run down through my report. I'll give a grant update. The Dowsville, I met with John, our engineer, on site.
Do you have copies of that, or is that?
It's going to.
Oh.
It goes to Tampa.
Yeah, okay, so.
And I put it into my minutes.
You don't have copies for us, too?
No, last time okay. I gave it all to Tampa when I'm done reading it.
Okay.
I met with John, our engineer, on site. They were scheduling to do the core drilling, which they've already done. He says they're on schedule, and the crash rails we've been pushed back to the first week in November to get the temporary guardrail set up. Turner Hill, all the paperwork has been emailed to the state. We are waiting for approval. Marshall Road for the Central Vermont Regional Planning, all the paperwork is emailed in, and I'm waiting for payment. And FEMA, had a meeting with our FEMA rep. Getting the paperwork started. I've submitted the damage report to FEMA, and I'm waiting for them to reach out to us to do the damage review. The only site they really want to see is across the hill slide because the others are already completed. John, our engineer, stopped on his way back out of Dowsville to stop and take a quick look at it just to help us. We have to have a cost, what he thinks it's going to cost. FEMA requires that. He swung up and took a look at it, and he's estimating with the fees and the engineering, the final inspection, and construction cost of $400,000.
And that's the FEMA from July, the storms?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. The road work that's been performed, Marshall Road has been ditched, stone lined, one culvert was changed, and the entire road was graveled. Half of it will be paid by Central Vermont Regional Planning Commission, and hopefully the rest will be paid on FEMA. Camel's Hump rails have been deburmed, the boards have been removed, and the holes in the rail have been filled. This is up going towards the state park. The one by Scrabble Hill, the ones by John Largina's, and also Pitts' Bridge and Marshall Road Bridge. Grading, we've been spot grading Camel's Hump, Marshall Road, Cross the Hill, Turner Hill, Ryan Road, Class 3 and 4, Ward Hill and Dowsville and Welch Road. Complete gradings have been River Road from Main Street to Camel's Hump and Stevens Brook. With the colder temperatures eventually coming, we are going to start switching over to just spot grading instead of complete grading. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, River Road is an example. If the entire road falls apart, then obviously we're just going to grade the entire road.
Can I ask you just a quick question? I know it's not on the list, but you did the guardrails on Camel's Hump. Is there a plan to do that around the rest of the roads? Not maybe this year, but...
Yes.
I'm getting there.
No, it's okay. No problem at all. An equipment update. The pickup is going in for its state inspection. The International went for its state inspection and passed. And the bill was $1,700, and we need to start getting our equipment ready for winter plowing.
Road foreman's work. I went to a class on international truck to go over the new parts and new motors. It was in Albany. It was me and the town of Morrisville from Vermont, and then three counties from New Hampshire. Don't ask me. I don't remember what counties they were from. It was a great class. We learned a lot about their new engines that are coming out, because potentially we could be buying a truck, depending on the vote at town meeting, what they've improved. I found it interesting, kind of a tidbit. Motors are ranked with a 10M rating and a 50M rating. So 10% of international and Volvo engines will have a catastrophic failure before a million miles. Detroit and Mac will have a 50% of their engines will have a catastrophic failure before a million miles. Which one of them was our truck with the DEF fluid. Been working on all the grants that I listed above with FEMA, with the help of Maureen and Ann, going over time cards and work logs and invoices. And Maureen is the is helping me by being the secondary contact for the town of Duxbury. I thought it was a good fit because we've done three of these before together, and we've done the state ones as well. So,
is it supposed to be her, or is it supposed to be somebody?
It didn't matter. They said it didn't matter. Whoever wanted to help could do it. I've been working on the work wall. The work wall is something that we came up with. Maureen helped me with these, printed these out, and then I put this pegboard up. And going back to your question about guardrails, so I'm going through my notes and things that I know that need to be done within the next couple of years. We have a wall, so the wall has all the roads in Duxbury that we maintain, including the one Class 4A that we have right now. If we have, let's use cutting brush for an example. If we have a road that I know needs to be cutting brush, we put it up, I write it down, as you see on the card, the road name, the date, you know, what's the issue, trees, you know, and then in the comments, I write, you know, entire road needs to be brush cut. Mm-hmm. Or if there's a section like on Cross the Hill between Spruce Street and Devlin Road on the downhill lane, that needs to be cut back. So that was something else I did. So that's the helpful tool for me and for if I'm not around or if, you know, we finish a project a little early and we can go to that and say, hey, we've got an hour, let's go do this. So.
And that board's in my office.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, if anybody wants to see it, I'm more happy to show you. Show it to you whenever you have a moment. I've been working on the budget. I'm told Ann I would have it to her by Wednesday. I will not be able to be at that meeting, but I'm doing a typed up summary and my side of the highway budget. I went to an Act 64 meeting with Lars. Kind of the same stuff that we went over before when Stefan and Stacy went to Warren.
Yeah.
There is definitely the costs are set of $3,000 for our first year. And that needs to be in the budget. That needs to be in this year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And fortunately, we are ahead. Our road inventory is done. Our culvert inventory is done. Mm-hmm. We have our sites that need to be done within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. I talked about this a little bit last time.
Those are those three. There are three or four.
Yeah. As I was talking to Lars, I have a huge concern, and the gentleman kind of, in a roundabout way, confirm my theory is I have a feeling the select board is potentially losing, and the town is potentially losing control of what we're doing because they have set this stuff here, the Cross the Hill, the 1 mile across the hill, the Pleasant Street, and the Camel's Hump section, which is the first section of Camel's Hump, has to be done within the next 5 years.
And when you say has to be done, what does that involve?
Get rid of the grader grader / plow berm. So right here, let's use Cross the Hill for example.
What page are you on?
I'm on the 17th.
Oh, okay.
And it lists It lists these all of our roads. It lists of potential issues, certain issues where, which is on me. I should have brought that map with me, that erosion that I brought with me before.
It's called the connected highways, right? Mm-hmm.
This is all the connected highways. Mm-hmm. The map lays out the segments.
And these are the roads connected to
major bodies of water. Yeah.
And so these all have to be done in the next 5 years.
The front page
the
there.
The front page, this one.
Those three rows, yep. So, this is a great tool. This will also help us set our plans, what we're going to plan on doing for the next couple years, certain areas. Mm-hmm. I feel better, especially after the one that Lars and I went to. I mean, there's a fellow town in a different county that is much bigger than us, and they are even very concerned about the costs and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so we're not alone.
Yeah. So Aaron sent something. Were you going to bring that up as part of your thing in an email today? Because she couldn't be here tonight. There's a public comment period open on the general permit, I believe, still.
The
we have a week.
Public
we have a
comment week. Ends the 27th. And I was going to write up an overview of the act as it would affect our town, mm-hmm. and the implications it has. It has some very good, good guidelines, especially if guidelines are needed to know what to do. It supplies them. The drawback is that the materials and hauling materials is a big expense for this stone. And all that time where in a short staff department like ours, you'd rather have people on the road working than on the road hauling.
We'd have to look at contracting it out.
There are grant opportunities available for some of this, but I don't believe there are grant opportunities or a buying schedule where we can get stone, especially, at a rate that the state gets it. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. And that would be nice because what it is, it's a kind of incursion by the state and making town roads state highways.
So to that point, we know we have to put in a $3,000 increase in our budget for the permit fee.
Mm-hmm. This year.
And we have to do this work in the next 5 years, starting next year. Have you...
Well, this says 2016 to 2020, question.
We needed
just want to finish my question. Have you included the cost of, like, what Lars is referring to, all the gravel and material that's required to meet this in the budget for next year? Is there anything we have to do?
I have included everything but the trucking.
But the trucking.
Because,
okay.
I mean, trucking is extremely expensive.
I know.
And that's, you know, and I've always done my budget when I started doing it myself is I always try to be very conservative. And I have a feeling that trucking, I mean, Jesus, you could spend a lot of money.
Well, and not that we can really get into that too far tonight unless others think we should, but when we talk about trucking, I mean, we've had Kenny come in in the summer to do that specific work for us.
Yep.
Do we know if that's an option for next year, or is this at such a level that we're going to need to hire out trucking to keep guys working on the roads? I think that those are the questions we're going to need, and we're going to need to know that for the budgeting.
Yeah.
I when Kenny left, he said he was coming back next year.
Whether it's Kenny or not, right, I mean, it could be Kenny, or we could hire... If Kenny didn't want to come back, you could still hire somebody. I guess what I'm trying to understand is, you know, is one part-time person next year to do that for us enough?
I think it probably is to have one truck running.
I think what I would like to do, without, you know, raising our budget, our highway budget, you know, catastrophic or anything, is let's see what happens. You know, let's try it for a year. You know, my plan is next year is I want to do Cross a Hill. you know, I want to do the segment they're talking about, which is right down here. Mm-hmm. You know, let's try
it.
In front of towns, and then it goes all the way up into Senex.
Okay.
So I want to try it. Where it gets hard for us, not hard, but when it takes longer is when we're working on the north end, because we're so far away. That's where trucking comes in handy. It's an hour. I mean, we were timing ourselves when we were up on Marshall Road.
North end is Camel
River Thumb. Road, Camel Thumb, okay. Marshall Road, and side roads up there. I was timing the trucks when we were ditching and stone lining up. When we were stone lining, it's an hour and 10 minutes round trip.
And that's that on the work car.
It's an hour. It's about an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So as long as you've got the three trucks there, you can keep things rolling. But, you know, with me, I'm not able to be in the truck all the time or a machine, and then that leaves two, and it's...
An hour and 10 minutes to do what?
Haul the material.
To go from Marshall Road to our pit where we stockpile our stone back to, like, Marshall Road. I'm using Marshall Road as an example. And then, obviously, the higher you go up the mountain, the longer...
I'm going to go way into the weeds, so pull me back if this is further than you want me to go. But have you ever thought about, like, so... North end of town, you know you've got to do X amount of work, and you're going to need, I don't know, 20 loads of material. Mm-hmm. Is there a place where you could haul all that material before you start the work and stockpile it there, so while you're doing it, you don't have to go all the way back and forth? You could have it stockpiled somewhere down at that end of town.
The only place we could do it is at the dry hydrant, I would think, but I don't know.
Right, and we can't impede...
I can't block access. No, right. But I don't want to block
that's
it off.
That's a worthwhile
that's a good question.
Idea. It depends on whether the loader is needed to get.
Yeah, I mean,
to push back gravel deliveries and sand deliveries at the same time.
That is the issue. Yeah. When we're having our winter sand hauled in, that loader. Yeah. I mean, when you got Griffin there, you know you're up there a couple times a day pushing the sand off. So
yeah, and I'm not saying we should make any kind of decisions tonight.
It's an idea to look at.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay,
I did have Adam. This says 2016 to 2020.
We started it in 2016 with the culvert survey and the road inventory.
Okay,
which was part of a grant through Central Vermont Regional Planning, where it was a $800 grant. The in-kind match was me, where I rode around with Central Vermont Regional Planning, did the culverts and the road inventory. We came up with this and with our culvert maps.
Okay.
So that's when this started unofficially.
Okay. So
you get till, so it goes in effect next year, and you get 5 years,
5 years
to get these three segments done. So every year, which I'm assuming it'll be me or the highway foreman, in February or in January, there'll be a conversation between me and the people of this Act 64 office. What did you do this year? Where was it? What are you doing next year? And what is your, you know, you need to, every year, you need to communicate with them what you've done. Is the work completed? You know, they are going to be doing inspections, I'm sure, by then.
Mm-hmm. And then what's next?
And then what's your plan? What is your plan next year?
Your permit has to include.
We have until 2036 to get all of our sections of highway erosion taken care of with connected to bodies of water.
How it works also is that the roads are divided into sections, and the sections are 100 meters.
Yep.
So one of the new approaches is that you have a certain number of segments, a certain percentage of segments to work on.
Yeah.
And the idea is to work on the segments instead of doing the whole road. You do this section here, and you hopscotch your way to completion. And it's not necessarily the whole road that needs to be done.
Right.
What it's just these sections that don't meet the criteria.
That are connected to a body of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what is the other thing that's nice is across the hill, we pretty much did all the ditching we needed to do this year, including Pleasant Street. We need to put gravel on it to get the road crowned as they want and cut the shoulders off. So, I mean, really, we did a lot of the work this year on this section. Okay. Where next year we put gravel on it and we, you know, we've completed
we've
that section.
Half of it, yeah. Right.
So that's a huge thing. So,
okay.
So I was just pointing out to you, and I noticed with Lars too, that they've given you cost estimate worksheets, and they've actually estimated out what you're going to need for material and stuff. So is that your? That's going to be your
this
record,
is the,
record
this is
keeping
the
tool?
Record keeping and their tool that we will be using.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to have it in software, I believe, from what Dan told me. This eventually will
be on
in software,
like online or in an
it'll
Excel.
Be a, in an Excel program where it'll be a lot neater than that.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's actually neater than the work logs you do now. So,
so that was Act 64. I had a meeting with V-Trans on Main Street. The recommendation is to pave up. This is talking about the road, the dirt going into the guy's paved ditch.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, met with V-Trans about Main Street. The recommendation from V-Trans to pave up into the driveways on the downhill lane side, 4 feet, then take the excavator down and barely cut the grass off 3 feet in. This is because his concern is, one, he says the real problem you have here is your pavement is extremely out of shape. Mm-hmm. We already know that.
Mm-hmm.
I told him that unless it's a grant, I don't foresee in the next couple of years us paving Main Street. So what he recommended was us paving 4 feet into everybody's driveway, creating a small depression in the driveway, and then going down with our machine and cut 3 feet in or so off the side of the pavement, which will hopefully keep the water and for coming out of the residence driveway from crossing the road and dumping into this paved ditch.
That's on the west side.
Correct.
The west side of the road, yeah.
So I don't have any money in my budget for paving. I have added it for my next budget, but I don't have money in my current budget for asphalt. I've added that. I've also added guardrail replacement and repair into my current highway budget that I'm doing.
Could the cutting back of the grass be done prior to the...
He did not. What he's afraid of is if we do that, we're going to wash out driveways, and we're going to have upset residents. That was his concern. Is if we cut that grass off where now it's going to be running down that shoulder and dumping into these and running along these driveways that we're going to be creating.
It's running along the driveways now, but it would be running along worse. Is that what you're saying?
That's what he came up with me. Like we walked up and down from that paved section of ditch along the other side, and he was concerned that we would be potentially setting ourselves up for washing out people's driveways.
Okay.
So that was his.
When you say you put money in the budget for paving...
I'm asking for money.
Right, well, but is that just for the asphalt material that you need, or is that for, like, ST Paving to come do the work?
This is just pavement. This is for us to go get pavement and fill in culvert crossings when we do that.
But it's not, like, repaving the road like you do with...
No. This is just for patching
and
for us to go get pavement if we need to change a culvert on pavement.
Gotcha.
We can fill it in.
Okay.
Also, we have an issue on Ward Hill at the bottom of Ward Hill at the intersection of Route 100 and Ward Hill. I took Dick down there, Dick Hoskins. It's a catch basin that right now he's researching to find out whose catch basin it is, whether it's the state of Vermont or the town of Duxbury's, because there's no record with us or with him whose that is. So he's working on that, and hopefully we'll get an answer for that. And then as we talked about before, we had a meeting in the pit with Act 250. I think it was definitely one of the better meetings we've had up there.
Good.
And they're going to email us with what their recommendations and fixes and what they'd like to see.
Yeah, I think they understood that it was pressing.
Yeah.
That we wanted those sooner rather than later.
I thought it went very well.
Yeah, so. I did too. Thanks for being there, Adam. On Dowsville, where someone took the guardrails down and they're laying there, are those going to be put back in?
Okay. They're going to try and reuse as much of that rail as they can.
Good.
That's why we've left it there. They're supposed to come. They'll probably have to put some new sections in, but they're going to try and reuse everything they can.
Okay.
So
perfect.
Just to keep the cost down.
Yeah. Thanks.
So
the only thing I'm going to say is looking up at the immediate assessments, the vision, that we don't get tunnel vision on Act 64.
Yep. And then plan Act 64 and then forget about Atwood Culvert.
No, absolutely.
That's trying to find funding sources for some of the projects that we assessed as immediate, like the Turner Hill Box Culvert.
Yep.
You know, all that. That's the only thing I'm worried about is we go, we'll transition to this and then forget all about
that. Yeah, no, the Turner Hill one, like I said, we're waiting for approval. Yep. And then we're going to start going out to bid. Dick's going to help me with that.
Looking at grants and funding resources for the Atwood Culvert, because I know that's the next hot one that we're going to have to focus on.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to, when the structure grants come out for next year, I'm going to apply for it.
Cool.
And see what we can come up with. Two more things I have is the Devlin Road email I got. The gentleman was Mr. Grace. This is a section that has been back and forth. I think you were on the board, and we've been back and forth with this anyway. They've asked that we grade it again. We've been through this so many times, I don't remember what class of road that thing is. And I've heard three, I've heard four, I've heard trail, I've heard, I mean...
It doesn't, it that issue's settled. The issue's settled by precedent and by the scant documentation that we have, that the road proceeding from Kilkenny's driveway...
Which is where you turn around, right? Correct. Trying to remember the house. It's kind of set down a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is class three.
Up to that point.
Anything? From down to.
Right. So beyond that.
Beyond that.
From the turnaround to the gate.
It can be considered as acting class four. And it hasn't been, it has been treated like a class four, essentially, from what I understand. That status hasn't changed. And the question he's raising is, and the board, this board isn't constrained to do something by another board's
I understand.
Ventures. So the question is, should Mr. Grace take care of that or watch it degrade? That's the question. The people who have who are on Class 4 roads have upgraded them. You have one example of that, right?
Ryan Road, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it stands as far as I'm concerned.
And there's a process for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's outlined clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My last question, comment, is with us getting, looking at the weather, it doesn't seem it, but with us getting closer into winter, I traditionally don't come to every meeting in the winter. I'm happy to keep submitting reports via email or leave them here or whatever. Is the board okay with keeping it that way? Because in the winter with plowing and getting up early and stuff,
I'm okay with keeping it that way. I just want response for my queries, and sometimes I don't get that. So if I send out a query about something on that, then if you can respond to it, that's good enough for me.
Okay.
Yeah, on the submission of the written report by email in advance, and I'm happy to read it for the record. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's for you.
Thank you. Thanks so I could listen and not have to take notes.
No problem.
Well, I mean, if you can make it, make it.
No, what I'm saying is if, like before, so the way
it's
it works
a pressing
Monday,
situation where you're plowing and you got up at 3 in the morning, I get it.
Right.
But if you can make it, make it.
No, I understand.
I have some questions.
Yeah.
The first question is, when was your last correspondence with the engineer who designed and had installed the degraded headwall on Hayden Brook?
The last one I had with him is when I emailed you guys about him telling me he'd have a plan for me that Monday.
Have you inquired of him again?
I have called. I called last week and left a message because he was not in the office.
This is John Grenier.
Correct.
Okay, and you haven't gotten a response. So we have a collapsing, degrading headwall that can only continue.
He reassured me the times I have talked to him that it's cosmetic. I said it doesn't look cosmetic.
When something is supposed to be plumb and it is no longer plumb, That's not cosmetic.
I'm just telling you what he told me.
Well, let's find out from him what his intentions are.
Should we elevate this to, like, a select board member making contact with him?
A select board member, I've already contacted him. I initiated, I opened this whole thing up when I looked at that head wall, the head walls, and they're being distorted. And the design has pins or anchors for the ends. I don't understand how we can spend money on something and then watch it.
Does it make sense to keep going to that engineer to come and give us that opinion? If he's given us the opinion twice, do we go to somebody else to take another
look? Well, I think the reason was that he did the work.
He did the work.
Oh, I understand. But if he's telling Adam it's cosmetic, he's the guy that did it. He's telling Adam it's cosmetic. Adam can keep calling him. He's going to keep telling Adam it's cosmetic.
Yes, and I think he should.
If
Adam doesn't want to call him, he can hear from me every week.
I don't want to waste your time either. I'm not trying to get Adam off the hook.
I don't consider that a waste of time.
Are you saying, like, maybe have another engineer give a different opinion to be able to say to Grenier?
Yes, I would like. I'm thinking a second opinion because
we could always ask John to do that.
Yeah, I just
not John Grenier, but
John from Dowsville. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm not trying to make this more difficult. I just think if you're going to keep hitting your head against the wall and getting the same result, it doesn't make sense to keep hitting your head against that same wall.
Only if
hit another wall, maybe I'll go through it that time and get a different result.
If you're wearing a helmet, it doesn't matter.
Well,
I think if we ask Will and Tanner John to look at the head wall, we need to be very specific of what we're asking John to do. It's engineer, we're not paying, you know, would we pay him?
I would ask John if the present state of that head wall is an appropriate outcome for a new installation 4 years later. That's what I would ask him.
But it's completely your choice if you want to do that or if you want to go to John Grenier again and ask him and just say, look, the board would really like to understand why 4 years later it's in the condition it's in. I just feel like if it's a waste of your energy, you know, I would like a positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And if what John Grenier is telling us is true, then the other engineer should be able to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then I think that gives us a different answer.
Okay.
Okay, the second question.
All right, one second.
Sure.
We're going to have to pay him if I call.
I know, that's what I'm thinking about is cost. So it's not like he's just going to come and take a look. You know,
we're going to have to pay him.
A look. So what do you think?
Can I ask you and Lars a question? What is the immediate risk of it being left the way it is? Just to refresh my memory.
It looks like it's going to fall in. I mean, it looks like it's going to fall over.
So if that happens...
I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, does Grenier's have to replace it at no cost?
The whole reason I initiated this was to hold the engineer accountable for the result of the construction. And it's gradually, it's incrementally being pushed in by frost and moisture.
Yeah, I understand.
So I want to keep that on the burner.
The problem, though, Lars, with that, and forgive me for if I'm being naive, but we've paid them for that work. We accepted the culvert as it was delivered and installed, and we paid them, and it's been 4 years. It's like you buy a car, and you've run it 120,000 miles over 4 years, and the transmission goes. You can't then go to the car dealer and say, I want another car for free because the transmission went when I just drove it 120,000 miles.
This is a stationary object. Unlike a car, and it's has a function, like all bridge head walls do, is to be stable. It's to stabilize the surrounding terrain.
So, what's the outcome we're looking for? Are we hoping Grenier's going to replace it at no cost?
I think we're looking for him to take a look at it and give us an assessment. You know, just saying it's just by looking at it, and I don't think he's really. Because he's gone out there, right?
He went out there and looked, but he was supposed to do exploratory digs. He wanted us to do it, I can't do it, and I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to contact Griffin & Griffin, who installed it, to do exploratory digs to see if it's
Do you have that in writing?
I think I have it in
then
the
I think
email,
that's
I have,
then that's what you need to ask. You promised to do an exploratory dig on this date based on this email. The select board has asked that you follow through on that.
Yeah.
That's where I'm trying to get us at. I'm not pushing back on anybody for wanting to
get
this resolved.
That's what I've been intending all along, is to keep following through. Beg your pardon?
It's been a problem since it's been put in.
Yes.
Right.
So it's not, it's an ongoing problem.
That's right. That's right.
Get your lawyer and sue him.
That's right.
Well, I mean, you don't need to go to that.
We don't need to go there.
You got to be done. It's going to cost a whole load of money.
What are you going to sue him for? We don't know what's wrong with it.
We have to. There's a process for this, and we need to keep it front and center. And that's what Adam's doing. That's what Stacey is recommending.
Yeah, so I'll call him again.
Yeah, Stacey's right. Him. Just have him follow up on, hey, you sent me an email. You said you were going to do this.
Yep.
When are you going to do it? Yep. And then from there, we can come back again and say, okay, if we don't get anything back, then that's when we bring in Hoyle and Tanner to say, okay.
Or do we talk to Jeff's point, do we talk to whoever about what our legal options
we
are.
Have resources we can consult with. We have engineers. We have legal resources. So there's plenty of places to take this pain.
I don't know if we've got to go that far yet. But
No.
And let's see if it does.
I will email. What I'll do is I'll email him and then follow it up with a phone call if I don't hear back from him. Please. If I don't hear back from him within an X amount of time, I will email you guys and say, it's been
so. Let's set that target now. And again, I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, but if you could email him on Monday,
okay,
call him Monday after you send the email and tell him you need a response to him by Wednesday, because we've given him plenty of time, and this has been going on since I came on the select board. We've been having this conversation, so by next Wednesday, if we don't hear from him, then if you don't hear from him, then send your email to Lars. Copy the rest of us and
go from there.
Lars and Stefan will figure out next steps and let the rest of us know.
No, not Lars and Stefan. Lars and somebody. As a whole will figure. Well, no, Jeff will figure out the next steps.
Okay.
He can't email us. He only accepts email.
That's right.
You have to call him.
Dave?
Thank you, Adam.
Adam, just a quick question. The $400,000 estimate from the state engineer, I know that was just a quick drive-by, but do you know what his thoughts were for a solution to that slide?
It wasn't the state engineer. It was Oil and Tanner, the engineer that we're using on Dowsville. And that was start at the base and come back up with riprap all the way up.
So that'd be in the stream bed. So is a stream alteration permit going to be required for that?
That would be up to the engineer, whatever permits we would need. That's completely... A&R is already involved with this project because it involves a stream. And FEMA has their water resource person that is already involved with it. We don't even know if they're going to pay for it. Like, we don't know yet. They have to look at it first. So...
And had he been apprised that the upland landowner is amenable to...
We talked about it, and his concern was digging into that bank. Because as he told me, either you're going to be doing it over here with doing a rock wall or erosion control with rock coming up the hill, or you're going to be building a retaining wall on the other side to hold the bank back, and you're still going to have this issue over here with the road falling in. So that was what he said
to me. So he was aware it wasn't...
Yeah, I told him. Yep, I did tell him. But his concern was that, I mean, that entire side is all clay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just $400,000. Sounds like a lot of money for...
It is a lot of money. Hopefully we can get research grants on it.
And understand, that was a driving by.
I understand it was a driving by.
It was not a, you know, he didn't really, you know, get into heavy detail. It was just, I needed a price for FEMA. So
what about the borings? What, they're going to do borings?
The state won't do borings until FEMA looks at it. Because
borings uphill might give you an indication of how thick that clay is.
When I asked Mr. Hoskins about it, he wanted to wait for FEMA before we did any test borings.
It's just my tax money.
No, I totally understand. Totally understand.
So my little conversation with him done anyway. Mm-hmm.
So
I have some more questions.
Oh.
The grader roller, what's happening with that?
It is The framework is done. The roller part is done. They need to put it together. So and then they need to come back.
Won't be using that this year.
I doubt it. Okay. I highly doubt it.
Are we still turning? Are we still? Didn't we schedule the grader to get a
full? I'm doing it in December.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, I want to wait until we're done.
Yep. Gotcha.
Everything freezes.
No, I thought we were going to do it. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
The trees on Richardson Road.
Yep. I got a call. I contacted two people. I got one phone call back, and one person looked at it. Was Fars, $500.
I move that we hire Fars to take down the trees at Richardson Road that are causing an impending collapse of the bank, the shoulder.
Also, the question you asked about just dropping them over the bank and using them as a splash guard, yep. I did ask the state, would not give an opinion because it's out of the town, out of the right of way.
But, well, so the person who has the right of way
can give you that permission.
You can do whatever you want.
And,
right.
And like, that would be, I think we have that already.
What I'm saying is,
did we get signed
Zeb,
permit?
Zeb signed it.
Okay.
I know it was Bonnie that did it.
So we're all set there.
Yeah. I was asking.
Did you say Zeb?
Zeb does.
I asked him about using his splash guard as a state, and he said, I'm not giving an opinion because it's out of the right of way.
So. Okay, let's just dump him down there.
So that's.
Unless he stacks.
You need a second to the motion, correct?
So the motion was to pay $500 to Fars or up to $500.
Is that the
fix? He said $500.
Okay.
Okay.
We went and looked at it. He said $500, and okay. They would go up with a crane and cut it down.
Okay. This is right near the power line, right?
Yep.
So are we going to coordinate this with Zeb, too, to make sure Zeb's cool?
Zeb's cool with all of it.
Okay.
Zeb initiated this.
Where the trees are going to go and...
Yep.
He's gone to Canada, I think, anyway.
No, Maine.
Or Maine.
He's cool with all... He explained the whole thing.
Okay.
So we have a motion... Do you want
second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
Look at us rolling on right along tonight.
Okay, that's all I got for now.
Friday's more often. Thank you, Adam.
I'm good.
Okay.
You can go eat or not.
Go play with your kids.
Okay, so he's done. Planning Commission? No. Report from Zeb? No.
Did he
submit anything?
Not to me.
Okay, we continue on with the same approach at Farnham's, which is...
Okay, so barring...
This has been reported to me. Yep. Okay. Unless another board member, or Maureen, you've gotten any other complaints? Okay.
Not on that.
No. Okay.
I've gotten other complaints.
So, new business. We already dealt with the Green Lantern presentation. Town administrator position discussion.
Yep, okay. That was mine.
What was yours?
So, I wanted to bring up the idea of a town administrator position, which would have to go through the budgeting process and be presented to town meeting, so there's nothing for us to vote on tonight. It's just whether or not the select board wants to continue to pursue that. In looking at neighboring towns, we've talked historically about needing a clerk of the select board to take care of the minutes, to post notices, all of that administrative work. And we've also talked about the heavy amount of paperwork that's now being placed on our road foreman. And he's getting assistance from Maureen and Ann, too, but it's clearly becoming a lot of paperwork. And, you know, so there's the grants, there's all the FEMA stuff whenever there's some kind of flood event, there's just a bunch of different things. So I thought it might be time to reconsider whether or not we want to hire a part-time town administrator to come in and take on the duties of clerk of the select board, grant writing, other administrative duties. I think the way it would work is Adam would certainly have to feed information to that person as part of the grant applications. My concern is that when you look at the work logs and you look at his hours, I mean, he spends an enormous amount of time in the office. And we only have a 3-man crew. So, you know, I know we have a desire to have the equipment out on the road. Yep. He even mentioned it today with the hours spent back and forth to the pit and working on a project. You know, I don't think it needs to be a full-time position. And it might, the hours may fluctuate depending on how active the grant seasons are. The town of Warren has a full-time town administrator, Cindy, and she does a ton of things. She does their payroll. She does all of their ordering. She signs off on their invoices. You know, she does a lot of those things, coordinates events. And that was the other thing, too. So I understand historically there's usually a member or two on the select board who, you know, are attend work group meetings like the Ridge to River stuff. And some of these other Central Vermont Regional Planning Commission meetings. And this board, with the exception of Lars, everybody is a full-time employee. Stefan, you're in school. On top of that, we have kids, many of us, that are going in different directions. And so the expectation of select board members to be able to attend a monthly meeting like this, and then, like next week, I think there's two meetings happening. I'm going to two. The budget committee's one. The other one is the Government Senate Operations Committee on Police Forces. Seems like it's just a lot of that type of administrative stuff. And so if we could hire somebody that could come in and cover some of those meetings and bring reports back to the select board in our monthly meetings for decision-making, you know, it might alleviate some of that heavy burden that's laying on everybody. I have not really looked that closely at costs, because I thought before I spend a lot of time, or Aaron spends a lot of time researching, that we should see if it's something the select board's even amenable to first. And then we could try to put together, between now and town meeting, a proposal of what that would be and see if that's something the townspeople want to pursue.
It's worth creating a proposal. I mean, ultimately, the town will decide.
Right.
But if we give them all the information, cost, part-time versus full-time, maybe that town administrator would replace the town treasurer or the town clerk, maybe, and the town clerk becomes an elected position that is a backup. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you could go with this. Maybe the town administrator, you don't need a road foreman anymore, and you have three worker bees, and the town administrator does everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but there's a different, I think you have to look at a bunch of different courses of action.
Well,
and give the town from A to Z, whether it's part-time, full-time, complete, whatever. But yeah.
There's just a couple of clarifications on what you said. So looking at town administrator job descriptions on VLCT and in other towns, they don't take on road foreman responsibilities. Mm-hmm. They do grant writing. They do more of the office type stuff. Well, they don't oversee the crew. The select board is still responsible for that. So your town administrator wouldn't become, it's different than like.
Maybe it's a different title. Maybe it's not a town administrator.
No, a town administrator is an administrative role. They do grant writing. They do that type of thing. They are not overseers.
Elected officials are responsible. Whether you hand your responsibility away, that's up to you. But
if we're
supervising.
If we're going
to
do it,
it's our role to supervise the administrator.
True.
Yes,
it's not.
Agreed.
It's not.
But you don't have oversight over treasurer or cart.
Right. And the administrator doesn't have oversight over the road crew.
Right.
Right.
Well, maybe it's not a town administrator, it's a town manager. Or who knows? Maybe just looking at how we're going to propose it, we look at all the different pieces, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think it will be necessary to have to offer the opportunity for citizens to be on a committee to guide this.
You mean
process.
Create a committee about this?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
At town meeting, we would have the article that would we could have a body of
budget folks.
Information that we have developed. But because it's a change in the way business is done from past years, then I believe we should have a committee to go forward and present it the following 2019.
Okay.
But it's certainly worth looking at. I saw the administrator of Huntington in action with one of the select board members Clean Water.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good team effort with the two of them focusing, because her specialty was handling all this stuff.
Right.
So she could see the ramifications developing.
And it's their focus. I mean, that's the focus of their position is to... I mean, this new general permit that the state is going to be enforcing or imposing on us, that's going to take a lot of administrative work.
It is. It looks like it's going to. It has some like I said before, good features, helpful features by presenting some standards that we've all known about, and now I see them being enacted. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it's been very helpful.
So that's
the
that's
paperwork. If you go on the site, if you go on the Clearwater Act site, it's a labyrinth to find the fee structure.
Welcome you can. To state government.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
all of our websites.
I think I'll talk to Dan Currier and see if he can
simplify. Worked there for 25 years, can't find stuff in
it's,
there.
It's the return of the Pharisee.
So, so what I'm getting is there's a general consensus that we need one and that we should warn it for town meeting and create a committee and figure out
and
the budget.
And do some ancillary research.
We're not in any position to budget for this yet. Yeah. We have no idea whether it's a part-time 20 hours per week or a salaried position that isn't locked into weekly
and
hours
we can develop
or how we
that
want to do any of that.
Present that as what options do you want to...
But if we could get a committee to do that research and then come back to the select board with a recommendation, I think
that'd
that would
be great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why don't we... Okay.
We'll
so
develop an article.
Yeah, we'll develop an article, and it's a good idea. All right, good. Thanks, Stacey. Yep.
There's also something about institutional memory.
Well, that's...
That this board changes over, has the potential to change over so frequently. So someone who's holding the knowledge of, like, the knowledge that you've amassed over just the last two or three... Well, over your lifetime, Lars, but...
Yes, the lifetime that wasn't engaged in.
This issue.
Chicanery.
This issue in particular. Potentially we could lose that this next election. I think having someone who understands that and can move things forward in an efficient way would be good.
I was looking...
They could do all the policy updates that need to be done. I mean, it's just a lot. There's a lot of good stuff that they could do at the direction of the board. And then you might actually get more local residents to want to be on the select board if they're not looking at spending the hours that...
Being burdened.
Right.
Overburdened.
Overburdened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I were retired, I could do a lot of what you're doing right now, but I don't have that kind of luxury. So it's hard to balance all of that.
Yes, it's a luxurious life I'm leading.
Well, that's not, you know what I mean.
So that's, I'm
down. A lap of luxury, actually.
So that, it just may mean come up with some, I mean, if you don't mind, come up with some preliminary stuff, just something to substantiate at town meeting. This is what we're thinking.
Yep.
And then this is why we want to create the why to the what.
It's
basically
an interesting challenge. I was looking at this last year, and I was going from town to town seeing what was up in administration. And it's important, I saw in a couple towns that you could read between the lines, it's important to explain what the administrator doesn't do.
Yeah.
You can lay out the job, but you also have to lay out the constraints so that the authority of the person isn't migrating without permission.
Right.
So there's some very good some towns have some very clear documentation, and we'll give good direction on that.
Okay. So the next item up for bid is Health Insurance Advisory Services Program. What's that about?
Health Insurance Advisory Services
Program. How'd that get on there?
Okay, we'll table that one.
Is that graffiti?
No, that might have been an email that Ann sent.
Okay, so...
It might be what she was talking
about. Oh, with the Blue Cross Blue Shield
the
MVP.
Premium.
Before we go any further in new business, we've got some people
I
here.
I feel so bad just watching you all sit there.
So why don't we?
Whatever, we're doing the same thing. You guys want to be here tonight? I mean, come on, we're all in the same boat. This is my first time. It's been
we
very
have to.
I know.
I know, whether we want to be or not.
I'm a little nervous coming up. Like we had to have Adam come before we come. Well
why don't you come up here and sit down?
All right.
And explain.
All right.
So let's go.
All right. Do I read this? Do I hand it to you? What do you want to do?
Let's make it as formal and official as we can.
Yeah. How do you want me to read it? It's pretty brief.
Go ahead. You can read it for the record.
Yeah,
I think that's
probably the best thing to do.
For the record.
I'm Matt Kazvinsky, 250 Webster Road, Duxbury, Vermont. So this is addressed to all of you, Adam at the top. The residents of Webster Road respectfully request for the town of Duxbury to survey and upgrade the status of Webster Road to a Class 3 highway. The residents have invested in private contractors yearly to upgrade both the surface and width of the road to match those of other town-maintained roads. At this point, there is no discernible difference between Webster Road, Turner Hill, and other similar highways in Duxbury, which the town maintains year-round. The cost of continual private maintenance of Webster Road, a public road, in addition to town taxes, is a significant financial burden for residents to bear. And everyone from every house on Webster Road
signed it. So Webster Road is a 4?
It's a 4. It was a 3, and it was down class to a
4B.
When did that happen? Do you know?
15 years ago, or something.
Okay.
Sit down.
Okay.
So, yeah, none of the current residents were there when the road was downgraded. You think it was 15 years ago?
It was.
I'm Dan Butterfield, by the way.
Sunrise,
180 Webster,
Webster
Road.
They did a whole bunch.
So have you gentlemen looked at the Class 4 road policy on the website?
I looked at the document on the website. There's a document on there that sort of explains the roads and the difference between the roads,
and the requirements of the roads, clearances, turnarounds, all that stuff.
Yes,
that's just to raise the road from Class B to Class A.
Mm-hmm.
It does not ensure that when it's a Class A road, it can become a Class 3 road, but I mean, for all the people on it, that's what you want, to have the road navigable.
Absolutely.
Now, this a dead-end road?
Yes.
Okay, we have... Would you show us where that is?
Yeah, I'm just trying to know where I am.
That doesn't mean anything. Where's Route 100?
So this is
okay. All right, here we are.
Turner.
Okay, here's Webster Road. Right, so it's off Turner Hill. Okay.
Yep.
It's off Turner Hill.
So this is Turner Hill at the south end.
Up by Brian Woodard, up that way.
Just above the south end of Turner Hill.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you petitioned, you read it on the record. I mean, from here, we would have to figure out what the procedural path is for converting the road. Adam needs to assess the road per our road policy.
Yeah,
he needs to go out and look at it, because
right. In
order to bring it to what you're asking to bring it to requires it to have... You know,
specifics. Well, that's done at the owner's expense. It's usually for a development.
Right. My point is, it needs to be brought up to what the state standard would be for a Class 3 road, which is what you've been hearing about right now.
Right.
As far as the Act 64 stuff.
Right.
So again, that's the procedure. We need to figure out what the procedural path is. We know you've petitioned the board.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to figure out, well, what's the steps?
Right, and one
whether we can do it or not. I'm not making any promises here.
No, I understand that completely. One point I'd like to make is that I think, you know, I was pretty careful in the language here to say that there's no discernible difference between Webster Road, Turner Hill, and other similar highways. I know for a fact that Turner Hill, there are sections which are not any wider or not wide enough meeting the state standards, and I'm sure that, you know, the state standards are pretty strenuous. I think that if you actually went, and yes, they now are maintained roads, but I don't know that if they now had to meet those standards, if a lot of the current roads would indeed meet those. I think the fact that Webster Road was a town-maintained road and for whatever reason was taken off is certainly a decent point. I think the other point is that Webster Road was taken off at a point when there was one house at the top of the road. There are now five households on the road.
Mile?
No, not even.
0.39?
Yeah.
0.39.
Okay, I mean,
I'm just explaining it. Yep.
But,
yep.
I mean, the board can't make a decision. If you're looking for a decision, we
no, I'm no. I totally understand that. Right. But what I don't want to be bogged down is you know, well, it's not, you know, 43.4 feet wide, and the crown isn't this, and
well, that may be what you're going to bog down into if that's what the state standard is saying to bring your road to that.
Well, I don't know that it's the state standard. I think it's up to the town to make that determination. I don't think that that's
a
state.
We use the state orange book, which is the state standards for road conditions.
Okay.
And so what you've been hearing here earlier is this act that requires the state to look over these connected roads, mm-hmm. the roads that are connected, and they have to meet certain requirements. So mm-hmm. they've got to have a certain crown mm-hmm. Height. The rest of the roads mm-hmm. aren't as strict as those connected roads.
Right.
And I understand your point that you could go down Camel's Hump Road and find a place that doesn't meet a
right.
strict set of standards.
Right.
It's just that on a Class 3 road, you are in the Class 4 road. You are in the unenviable position of being on a Class 4 road, and mm-hmm. there is no requirement mm-hmm. for a board to go from one to the other. It is reasonable, though, for you to point out that there are more people on it now mm-hmm. than when it was downgraded.
Right.
That's understandable. There's additional cost even on a short road to the town in general.
Oh, I understand that.
And that's where we are.
Okay.
That's where we are. It's important for you to come forward like mm-hmm. this and make this case, though. So
I mean, we're seeing it on other roads as far as what we've, you know, the Act 64 as far as drainage from private mm-hmm. roads onto Class 3 roads, 4 roads. So, I mean, we get it. We completely understand.
Right.
We just have to make sure that the procedural path is followed. Mm-hmm. That's
of course.
Really
absolutely.
Right. So part of that is for us to figure out what that is
mm-hmm.
and communicate that back to you.
Right.
So are you the leader of the charge?
I'm the leader of the charge. Leader of the pack, yeah.
We all know about that.
Right.
So can you provide contact information
yes.
so that we can...
Yeah, let me just... I'll just write my email at the top.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Okay, yeah. Name and all that stuff.
And I'm no stranger to this. I lived in Fairbanks, Alaska for 17 years, and Fairbanks is the borough is the size of Massachusetts. And so in Fairbanks, there are volunteers that are in charge of the road. So for 10 years, I was the volunteer in charge of deciding what money we spent on our road system. It was approved by the borough, but we would actually go and have a local meeting at which, you know, people brought sidearms to and stuff. It was often really interesting.
Leave those at home.
Yeah, well, it was Alaska. But our responsibility was to communicate between the borough and the contractor, and when it snowed and so on, like, I was the guy that called the contractor to tell him to come and plow. And so I'm really aware of, I mean, roads are, I think a lot of people don't understand the cost of roads. And honestly, for us, it's not the summer maintenance that's the issue. It's the winter maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the basic plowing. Yeah, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
It's really expensive. Yeah. I spent over $1,000 this winter in addition to town taxes to have the road plowed.
There are a couple of Class 4 roads up near where I am. And it's you either
difficult.
Get organized and be cooperative with each other and spread this cost around, or you wind up with chains and come alongs and
right.
Well, that's what Matt's saying. We do split the cost, but even so, I mean,
yeah, splitting the cost
at least $1,000 each.
Yeah,
$1,000 each to plow.
Yeah.
For that and sand. 3/10 of a mile.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
How is your cooperative?
Who's your plow guy?
Situation among all the residents. Is everyone kicking in?
We got several estimates, and he was very reasonable.
Well, it's plowing and sanding. What we do is by the tenth, we just split it. So like we're $250, so we pay a quarter of the bill.
Okay.
So we just have split it up by the tenth of the mile. But man, I mean, I spent my taxes this year were $4,800, and then I spent an additional almost $1,200 more than that because we just did summer maintenance. So, you know, that's a good portion of my income that's just going out the window just to get access to my home. And I plow my own driveway. So it's not small. And I know from my experience with maintenance that it would not cost the town what it costs us to plow the road. It just wouldn't. It's not that great of an expense.
60-foot wide turnaround at the end.
Yeah, no, there's a deeded turnaround.
Needs to be 60-foot.
Well, again, let's get your contact information.
I have the procedure. So just for a note to the minutes in the orange book, it starts on page 14-3.
And you can reclassification
section. It is
right.
Online.
No, I'm afraid to look at it. That's what I'm leaving. You're the experts. Yeah. You're the experts. If I start looking
I've
at
been
that,
here 4
I'm...
months. And
really how long have you been on the board?
The same
since March.
March.
Oh, okay. So you're more of an all right. Yeah. Okay, senior.
But I'm a state employee too, so I know how the state stuff works. But yeah, it's on page 14-3 of the transportation orange highway book.
And the orange highway book is the state produced book.
It's
the
state.
Does that contain the definition of the class?
It does, and it even talks about the process for reclassification.
And you can download it.
It's what they call it. It's the orange book, a handbook for local officials.
There's my contact information.
Okay.
So then I will
absolutely
disseminate.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so we'll communicate back to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
thank you for the time you're committing to the town.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping in.
You go home and recover my kids from his house.
Yeah.
Okay.
We might.
So the health thing has been
done.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So appointing a Duxbury representative for the Central Vermont Waste Management District.
Found that health insurance thing. So it was an email from VLCT regarding VERBS Health Insurance Advisory Services Program. We're here to guide you. So it's looking to see if we want to enroll in this advisory program that helps navigate the changes in health.
That's right. But there was a cost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that something Anne needs?
Well, it's to her point earlier, which is that the premiums are increasing.
Do we want to shop around?
Yeah. So this would be something.
It's an annual subscription service open to all VLCT members, and I'll just be very brief.
Yeah.
Health insurance advisory services include education and communication of health insurance options and benefits, advice and assistance with overall benefit strategies, financial modeling of benefit plans and funding options, assistance with pre-enrollment, enrollment and post-enrollment activities, general support of health benefit plan administration, including any carrier transitions. So it's basically helping us figure out, the 9.5% increase versus MVP's cost going down, but are we really saving money? Like, what's the burden on our employees if we switch to MVP and their coverage isn't as comprehensive? You know, that type of thing. So it they would basically help us figure all that out, and then they would administer it by the sounds of it. But it does not say in here how much the costs are.
Right, that's, yeah.
So
figure that out.
We can ask questions of the risk management services part of the LCT if we want to.
I mean, as passive members, wouldn't we get would they give us a deal? No. I mean, they make us pay for the books now, and even we're passive members.
We get a lower rate of the rate schedule, but if they have a charge.
Right.
You
will get one.
Okay. They sent this out in advance of the town fair because they were going to be there.
So what's the end result of this? We just got to figure out what it's going to cost, and then
We could ask Anne to follow up with them and see what the cost would be to, you know, get their services, and then, or maybe have them come and do a presentation.
Can you forward that email to Anne and then just say, hey?
Yeah, I'll respond to her because she forwarded it to us.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it would be...
Four people with insurance in the town?
I know. Well, that's what I was going to say. It'd be nice if they charged us based on how many employees they would be, you know...
It's three.
Right. So hopefully, if they're going to do this for three people or four people versus doing it for 12 people...
I have it.
You and Anne.
You do?
Three of...
Right, but it should be available. It's available to you and Anne too.
It's not Anne, no, to me. But I don't know. Is all three guys in the garage?
No, but it's available.
It's available to them. Yes.
Right. Okay.
So I'm asking Anne basically to contact them and see what the cost of this would be.
Would be for the number of covered employees we have versus water barrier stuff.
All right. Who do we have anybody to point to the Central Vermont?
Probably.
Waste Management District.
No one signed up.
We posted it.
We posted it on the website yesterday.
Anyone here interested in being the Duxbury representative?
Hey, Jeff. How about you?
Dave?
We should have done this when we had a full house.
Right.
Before the road got.
Okay, so
by the way.
We'll let the post go, and if somebody expresses some interest, but in the interim, we don't have anybody.
No, we don't even have an alternate.
We have it. Well, did you call Todd? I'll call Todd.
No, I don't know. I don't have his number.
I'll get a hold of him and see where he is.
Was it you or Anne that said that he had stepped down and so
he was the alternate. Diane formally resigned. Todd left and there was...
I know I was the backup for a while.
Hard feelings for...
Right, us
during
changing.
The transition.
Oh, but from... let me call him and see what's up.
Okay. What's Todd's last name?
Hill.
Okay, so...
Is that Cole Hill's dad?
I don't
know. Sam Hill.
It sounds like we already got an update on the gravel pit. Sounds like that.
Yep.
That was a very interesting meeting. I think it would be in our best interest, although we won't know until Susan Baird gets back to us, for us to design that sequestered space that we're going to use, because it wasn't clearly defined in the walk around. I think we need to define the borders, design it, design what we're going to keep, with a clear understanding of what we're going to keep in that pit for our own usage.
There's drawings in there that I already have it designed.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was done. The ground was all shaped that way, so it's a bowl. The sound won't migrate.
And where everything is positioned on the land is drawn out.
So basically,
you come up the driveway and you come around, loop to the right, and drop down.
So if you're standing next to the chloride tank, just a big chloride tank, right? You're standing there, you're facing 100. Everything on the right side, the level surface, there should be a road that comes down to where it bottoms out, was going to be used for the town. As far as
is that staked out with dimensions?
Well, they graded it that you can see where it drops.
They're drawing with dimensions on it,
and the drawing exactly.
It might help to have that.
But there's drawings in there of what the overall design.
Did we submit those as part of this?
They should have been. I think the designs came afterwards.
Well, I think because
we spent
they got the design because they had to pay Kingsbury many thousands of dollars to rearrange the dirt. So they rearranged the dirt to facilitate the end game.
Right.
Which was to have a maintenance yard that didn't have big engines making a lot of noise carrying a long distance. Right. So hopefully they would be below the berm.
And then one holding pond, I think in the design there was even another holding pond.
The holding pond is a gravel pit thing. You have to, so we don't have runoff.
So we are unsure if these have been submitted to the state? This drawing?
They must have been.
They must have been.
Well, I don't think
Well, I mean, the bottom line is they just need to tell us. What was the field of the meeting? What did they tell us we needed to do? What's left to do?
Why didn't we give...
What did they say? What did Susan say?
No. Susan didn't have... Or the... I went to Susan at the last... I was the last person in contact with her and told her what we needed, which is clear.
And the coordinator came, too.
Yes.
Right? It was Susan and the coordinator. Yeah. So the coordinator just viewed everything and said, I'm going to get back to you with what you need to do.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Once we get that, then we'll know what's the next step for. That's okay. Where you've got to...
Did they give a timeline on that, Tamitha?
No, she didn't give a timeline.
No, but she, understood that Stefan was like, we need it now. We want this.
I tried to make it clear that this, and we're ready to go.
We're ready to go, and she also knows that we have this committee that's ready to work. Meeting?
October 16th.
So I'd follow up like Monday. Somebody should follow up Monday.
I mean, I can send an email to Susan, but, you know, okay. I mean,
well, I'm just saying, if she's going to give you next steps, it shouldn't take another 2 weeks.
I'm not sure if it's Susan or the coordinator.
I was talking with Susan. I think Susan gets feedback from the coordinator. And
maybe it's not next week. I just think if we're still waiting for this at the next select board meeting, then...
Yeah. Well, and we kind of, Mo and I, you know, we kind of would like to have this list of next steps to present to the committee so the committee understands sort of what, you know, where we are.
So, I mean, I don't think, especially if she's a state coordinator, there's no reason why it should take more than a week to get that from her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not in my shop.
Because the list was about a postage stamp long 2 years ago. So
yeah, this, I mean, it's been going on for a while.
The grass has grown, it's been planted. It's all been shaped.
It's just the last, whatever they, we just figure out what they want. Okay.
There were some more remarks about certain aspects of it, that the buffer trees were a topic because they weren't thick enough. That wasn't a stopping point. It was an observation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That more planning could have been done in that.
So we're just, okay.
And also where some of the dirt was dug out, big trees are unsteady. That sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Undermining. There was undermining along the border.
Okay, so we'll wait for them to come back and say what we got to do. Okay, so the next day, municipal road, general permit, open for public comment.
On what?
The municipal road.
That's the
I-64. No, we already covered that.
Oh, we're done with that one?
Done.
Okay, that's it?
Didn't we cover that?
Yeah, but what is the public comment period on it?
We have one more week.
27.
Got it. Sorry. I forgot
and
that
Lars
already.
Is going to...
I'm going to try to write up a synopsis of how I viewed it.
Okay. Then we should provide you with our feedback for the public comment?
Yeah, we can collaborate on... And maybe if it's articulate enough, we could send it around to other affected towns.
Okay. So that's it for new business. There's nothing listed for old business.
Well, let me bring us up to date on traffic calming in Duxbury Corner. So one of the things that arose when I talked with the sheriff was that we are looking... I sent you an email. Sent you all an email on that.
Because... Mm-hmm. Who did you talk to? I talked to Sam Hill, who's
I talked to the captain.
He's
head honcho.
He's the sheriff.
That's who I spoke to. Yeah, the Washington
I talked to
County.
One of his administrators, Captain Brett Meyer.
Right.
So he's on the ground, and he is saying, there may be grant opportunities. There might be. He got in touch with Waterbury to get in touch with us and let us know a timeline here. We could meld if there's grant money, and there was in the Northeast Kingdom when they did a big project.
Well, the last conversation I had with the state project manager for they're not going to bus ground until the summer of 2018 for the Main Street Waterbury project. So the last conversation I had, I think it was June or May, with the project manager, is he wanted me to give him a couple months because I was specifically asking... people are going to detour down, I can't remember that street to River Road, and why isn't it going to be made an official detour? He said it because River Road's not paved. But he did say, give him a few months, get back to him, because he was going to look for funding. And talking to Sam Hill, some of that funding, if we get that funding, could offset the cost if we wanted to do enforcement, if we wanted to.
Which goes to the next thing, that link that I sent everybody, where we remodel our ordinances to conform. I thought this is what was suggested by law enforcement, is we conform to that.
All we would need is an ordinance. I mean, we have one, but the ordinance is only for the dirt roads. The ordinance specifically says all dirt roads in Duxbury, regardless of 35 miles an hour. That's what we found when we pulled
that.
We
also need a stop sign piece
of that. Every so many feet.
Right. So that was the big thing because the focus was kind of River Road because we knew there was going to be. So River Road, as far as the ordinance, is enforceable because we have one. Main Street Duxbury, and then basically from the stop sign to 100 is paved. So now you're getting, I know it's posted, what, 25, 35?
35.
Well, there's so, one informal posting at 15, I noticed, on
Our way.
Coming down the hill from your place, yeah.
I lived there 30 years, and I ain't never seen a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit. Let's
15! 15.
15.
15.
Like that.
It's a yellow sign.
So,
I mean,
on the right. It doesn't mean anything to you.
No, it's not white. It's a recommendation.
Yeah.
Because my original concern was if we didn't have traffic studies, you just can't create an ordinance. You got to create a traffic study. And I noticed you got the picture of the traffic study thing where it basically finds an average of all the costs of all your... This is what they use to assess. This is one of the things. Oh, okay. It's kind of interesting that that's what they use.
Right, and that's what I've been researching.
Yeah.
So... this is where cost comes in.
It's expensive.
There's using these solar and battery powered feedback signs is costly, but they're effective. The options out there are running like this. If you have one of those mobile signs on a small trailer, like what is out on Route 100 right now, it's about $4,500. However, there are these portable ones, and I sent you all information, PDFs on all those. The portable ones are 12-inch lighted display, can be pole-mounted and locked to the pole. Can the pole be sawed down? Sure. Well, that's what we have insurance for.
Yeah, they have them on Main Street Walk.
They can be moved from pole to pole. If you have a traffic problem that's periodic, you can set it up, and you can either leave it up until you have a problem somewhere else, and you can take it over there. And there are about $2,500. That's a battery pack with a solar display. So if we were to try to calm down that area, then we'd probably need three of them.
I do not recommend one of those on River Road.
You do or don't?
No, don't.
Because?
I want it full of bullet holes. Because all the
everything,
new signs,
yeah.
All the new signs I've just put on are full of bullet holes.
Are we doing? Are we putting these up as a traffic study, or are we putting these up as a deterrent?
For 25 miles an hour, you can do a rudimentary traffic study, which would be observational.
If you're going
to people count it. You don't need to have this kind of arrangement.
But
your point's well taken.
But pavement, you have to have a traffic study regardless of the speed. I think with my discussion with Sam.
I'm not saying we don't have to have a traffic study, but there are different types of traffic study when you're going up in speed limit or when you're going down.
Well,
we're going down. I think. I hope. The we could have one, though, at the facing River Road. Coming off
they've done. They've in 30 years I've been there. They've done probably 3 traffic studies through there.
I'm not talking about a study. I'm talking about the feedback sign.
Well, they set all the stuff up so they know how fast you're going from this sign to this sign.
Yeah.
Done all that.
Yeah. So I'm talking about now the signs for the motorists. That's what I'm talking about.
Those ones that look at.
That's right.
One on Stowe Street.
Yeah.
I know. I can hit about 46 on that one.
Be
limit is 25, so
yeah.
Don't
well,
much.
Well, I mean, but
we're
I mean,
not talking about people who live in their own world. We're talking about people who want to be cooperative.
The speed downtown truck track. Now,
what I'm
doing 46 on Stowe Street.
So, but the point of this is we're trying to control speed around.
We're trying to calm the traffic,
right? Mm-hmm. So, our options then are spend $4,000 on one of these as a rental. Was that?
No. This is
a purchase.
This is a purchase that we could move.
We can
if
move
we were working somewhere on a blind corner.
$4,000 total.
For one. For
that's
yeah,
the
for
trailer
two
mounted one.
For two
if
of
you could do two or three for about, you know, if they cost $2,000 a piece. You know, like they have on Main Street, Waterbury?
Yep, they move them around.
Yeah, and they move Waterbury. Them from sign to sign, and then they put them on.
You can lock them on. They go on a typical two-inch square pole.
So we're buying them as a deterrent. That's what we're...
To encourage people to slow down. As a deterrent, a deterrent would be an armed...
Well, it's hiring
sworn.
That was my next question. Did we, when you talked with that gentleman from the Sheriff's Department, Lars, did you talk about what it would cost to have them patrol?
So what the way they do it, Faith, is it's, I think, $26 an hour and travel time. And basic, so from wherever they're going to here, you pay them mileage, and then you pay them, I think, did they give you any prices? They did. Was it 20?
Well, it could cost $150 to get a 3-hour.
Right. And 3-hour blocks a time.
Leg.
If they ticket people, then we get revenue from that?
Yes, you do get a little chunk of it if they ticket people.
You get a small portion.
Yeah.
Are we thinking of doing that during the construction period?
That's what I was looking at this as doing, combining the two.
Gotcha.
But... And these guys also have to serve warrants and other things during and you're going to pay for that time.
So basically what he was suggesting when I talked to him last time was if we do want to move forward with this, well, first of all, I didn't know if we had an ordinance, but we do because that piece is dirt. So that base was covered. So now it's enforceable. And then it's figuring out scheduling it with him. But I didn't want to do that. It was more information gathering.
Yeah.
Until I spoke to the project manager to say, what are you going to give us for money? Because this construction is going to cause... we're going to need more maintenance. We're going to have speeding.
Still under consideration by the state, isn't it? Or have they come back with a time
frame that he asked for a few months.
So we need to follow up.
So we just have to go back to him and say, hey, you remember this discussion we had?
Now, I've been copied into that, and he's inquired...
That discussion happened before you came on the board, so I got to find the email and the guy's name. And probably reach back out to him and say, hey.
Well, I think I'm going to get reached into. Brett contacted him, and he's going
to contact me. Oh, okay.
Brett asked him.
I can't remember his name now.
Tom.
In your email, Lars. I think you sent this morning.
I don't think that's the guy I contacted.
You could have a changeover, too.
Right.
So he reached out to this guy very clearly, telling him what we had talked about. Mm-hmm. And asking him to contact me. So, and I can go back up the channel again and knock on the door if I don't hear anything. It's encouraging. But my question is that broad corner there, that
Tom
wide
Mancini.
Angle, that's a very difficult place to come in and out of as far as I'm concerned. For people turning down River Road.
It was a weird
road.
Name.
You have to
it used to have to be lined. They haven't lined it in the last 2 years.
I was thinking about this. I was over in Plainfield looking at a similar corner where they calmed it down by striping it. They also had collapsible, you know, those stakes that go in and go over. And sure, people are going to violate that. There's people going 46 down Winooski Street.
They talked about doing that, but it was going to be in the way of plowing.
It was what?
In the
plows can't swing.
They can't get out of River Road.
No, but we could have that up during the good weather and set up those stakes. Take them down in the winter when things aren't as quite as frantic anyway because the thing slows you down.
Put a sign up there that says yield to oncoming traffic if you're making a left-hand turn instead of pulling in front of the car coming this way.
Well, that's the problem with that corner.
Yeah.
The sign, where you put the sign, is so far away from the junction, if you're coming downhill, that it's liable not to be seen. We could put one up if there was a place opposite that stream of traffic, and that's a driveway there.
Yeah.
So the tactic, ideally, would be in good weather to get a sign up. Stripe that off, have a sign there that's temporary and collapsible to meet state standards.
They just did the other Main Street all the way down River Road.
They did.
About 3 weeks ago, they lined it, but they never did up Main Street.
Okay. Yeah, this is a state function going on?
State doesn't do it anymore.
So who hired
that? State hires it out.
Yeah, but I mean it was a state.
Yeah.
State deal. I think it sounds to me like you would think that, one, the striping would help.
It helps a lot.
Okay. So I think we need to put that, get an estimate of some sort and figure out how that's going to contour, what that contour is looking like. It's going to be a right angle from the that goes down each leg of that curve.
When it's done, it comes down, it goes like this about halfway through the turn, and then you make the left-hand turn. People come down now and they just cut you off and they stop. So the people coming this way, and I just land on the horn, flip them off, and go around them.
Yes, well,
that's a
classic technique.
Well, you live there for 30 years and put up with the idiots over and over.
You can't see around the tree either.
Yeah,
out in the middle of the road.
Okay, so I think that step. I think having the feedback signs is something we need to consider. Maybe we need to warn it as an article.
Huh? Do we have to consider $4,000?
Guardrails on the corner.
Or is that part of the highway budget?
Sick of having them in the field.
What?
It could be part of the highway budget.
By Hart Road.
Yeah, wherever the money comes from, it'll be more.
And
it'll be more like $5,000 for two of them.
And again.
Okay. Yeah. So then you go in a separate article. It's basically.
I'm just sending that up.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. We either could put it in as a budgeted line item and it would get warned as part of the budget, or you could put it in as a separate article.
I was thinking when I saw these prices that this is something the town ought to.
I think I like.
As a whole.
I think I like the idea of it being an article because it brings it to the people's attention. The whole topic.
Yeah,
and the people who don't live there see that there's a need.
There's an issue.
And two of them at the minimum.
Okay, so just from a procedural perspective, we have the budget meeting next week. Things that are being warned as separate articles should also be part of that budget, correct? Or should they not? Because they'd get approved as an article and then added to the budget.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I don't have to put that on my list for the 26th.
No.
Got it.
No, but but it's good to keep in mind in case Adam somehow has something that he's sort of thinking about in his budget to be able to say we actually are going to.
There are a couple of expenditures that I'd like to get the budget committee's opinion on, too.
You're going to be there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Well, you know. Look at me.
You'll okay. be physically.
One is that, we're not made of money, but when you feel the concerns that residents have about these gravel-laden paved intersections like Turner Hill and Crossett Hill, and then the mowing that we're always behind on, and how can we cut back shoulders without having the grass lower. Zeb brought to the board's attention at the August 14th meeting this combination backhoe mower brush
to purchase. Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking into just the cost of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's another piece of equipment in a line of equipment.
Well,
but when I hear that we can't mow, you know, we have to wait, and then we get a mower for a week and we can do a yard, and then
just remember, though, it's not just the purchase of the equipment. You have to have space to store it.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of room in that garage to store equipment in the winter. Yeah. So.
Okay. That was it? Any other stuff? Guys?
We have.
I move that we go into executive session.
At 7:50.
To discuss a personnel matter.
Yes. You guys discuss personnel matters all the time and never come out of executive session and say what you
want. We do.
It's not in the minutes.
We do. Lars goes outside. It is in the minutes. I write the minutes.
No, I looked them up and it's never. You never say what you do in the executive session.
If there's no action,
we don't have to report it.
There's nothing to be said.
To say what you did.
No, we're not.
No, we're
only
not.
Only if we vote.
Yeah,
only if we make a decision.
I went through the book again.
And Lars goes out there every single time and screams out into the darkness if we're out of executive session, if anyone would like to come back in.
No, I'm talking in the minutes. when you get out of executive session, you never say what the outcome was of the meeting.
We say no actions were taken.
So why do you have executive session if you don't do anything?
Because discussion. You have to decide whether you're going to do anything, and that's what executive session is about.
So to me, that means you guys...
We're not getting overtime for executive session.
Stuff from the public. That's what, to me, that's what it is.
No.
Well, that's not what it is.
You can think that, but that's not
what it is. We're following statute.
I'm just saying, it's a state law that tries to prohibit that.
That's right.
you were hiding something from us.
I'm all about transparency.
Dream table demonstration October 30th.
30th, 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Yep.
I'll say that for Brian's benefit.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, we'll be there. Thank you.
Okay, so we're out of executive session at 8:44.
I make a motion to the select board.
Oh, and the select board made no decisions during this executive session.
This Act 64 has improved their performance, not so far as grading, but we're finally getting them to do the things that you mentioned at the first meeting, which is they're going to have to pull back, they're going to have to crown up the roads, they're going to have to move berm. Brian made a device, honestly, these guys will burn their brains out before they'll pick up a shovel. He made a device to clip onto the grader, that the grader can sweep the berms and knock them down. And he moves down the line with the grader with this device that's tacked onto the thing.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, we do.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we are off the record at 9 or 8:45.
Here's what I say.